It's Friday, January 30th, 2009, day 8 of
President Obama DEA Raid Watch.
In 2008, candidate Barack Obama was asked about his position on DEA raids on California medical marijuana providers.
When it comes to medical marijuana, I have more of a practical view than anything else.
On Tuesday, January 20th, 2009, Barack Obama was inaugurated as our 44th president of the United States.
What I'm not going to be doing is using Justice Department resources to try to circumvent state laws on this issue.
On Thursday, January 22nd, 2009, Barack Obama's Justice Department resources were used in a DEA raid to circumvent California's medical marijuana laws.
I want folks to be investigating violent crimes and potential terrorism.
President Obama, you can redirect Justice Department resources, but so far, you've said and done nothing.
We've got a lot of things for our law enforcement officers to deal with.
Mr. Obama, shut down these raids. Brought to you by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws at NORML.org, who believe it should be normal for politicians to listen to the will of the people. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org, and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. Welcome to Friday, and welcome to my last day as a 40-year-old man. That's right, tomorrow's my birthday, and the day after's the Super Bowl. I think I might not be posting very much this weekend. What do you want to bet? Now, we've got so much stuff going on here at the Daily Audio Stash, I hardly know where to start. So let's just talk about the blog a little bit. We've been adding a couple of new features. You can now find our advanced search page as part of the revamped important stash on the right sidebar. Got some colorful new graphics for you there. Also, we've got a feature called the Activist Agenda. This is a Google calendar I have set up where I'm going to try to keep track of the different meetings, protests, hemp festivals, TV shows, documentaries, and appearances by Normal staff and board of directors on radio and television in one place. So every day you can take a look there and see what's happening in the world of marijuana law reform activism. Also, we've been showing sneak previews on the blog of our Normal Pro Cannabis ad contest. For the weekend, I'm going to play you some of the songs from some of the best of those ads, some of the stuff that you won't see among the finalists. Some of it was too long, and some of them just had bad video, but the music was good. So that'll be for you in the secret stash for you registered stashers at stash.normal.org. Already, our ad contest is getting notice from some media. We got written up in the Civil Liberties Examiner on one of the videos that showed up on YouTube. They're all out there. You just kind of have to look for them. This Monday is when we'll be announcing the 25 finalists and beginning the live public voting. You'll be able to pick the videos that you think are the best, and we'll do the best we can to get them on television and the internet all over the place. So tune in on Monday for more information on that from the Normal $10,000 Pro Cannabis Ad Contest. Now, a couple of updates also to some bills we're following. We announced how there was a Senate File 97 in Minnesota for a medical marijuana bill. The companion bill, House File 292, has been filed in Minnesota. Also, the state of Oregon, my home state, has a couple of new bills to take a look at. One is a terrible bill, HB 2497, proposed by Representative Mike Schaffler. This is a bill that would basically hang the "no medical marijuana patients need apply" sign at the door of employment. They'd allow employers to fire medical marijuana patients or not hire them, regardless of where their medical marijuana use may occur. There's a bill in opposition to that, House Bill 2503 from Representative Peter Buckley. This one would guarantee medical marijuana patients their right to work, except for a pretty long list of conditions, like if they're in a safety-sensitive job and some other things. It's kind of like, you know, which one is the lesser of two evils, perhaps. Keep track of the alerts available at the Normal website, norml.org. We'll have a button up there so that you can follow the legislative actions in your state and contact your representatives and senators to be able to do something about it. Finally, one last note. We've picked up on the McClatchy newspapers, and many mainstream newspapers have been reporting on President Obama's silence on the DEA raids, picking up on the hypocrisy angle that he had told the Medford Mail Tribune that he wouldn't use Justice Department resources to go after medical marijuana. So maybe we'll get some response in the coming week. We will keep you updated. Now, for today's Daily Audio Stash, like I said, I'm going to play some of the songs from the videos in the Normal Pro Cannabis Ad Contest. And then in our second interview segment, we've got our CelebStoner.com entertainment report from Steve Bloom with a look at the stoners playing in the Super Bowl and a unseen clip from Bill Hicks that will be played on the David Letterman show tonight. So set your DVRs for that. Wow, I'm getting busier and busier. I can't believe how this is taking off. You stashers are giving me a whole lot of fun and enjoyment in my new career. Thank you so much for the best birthday present a guy could ever ask for. We got plenty to get to, so let's spark one up. It's time for your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as in multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our Normal Daily Audio Stash, Hemp Headlines. Marijuana is Washington's hottest agricultural product. From the Seattle News. With 3 months still to go, teams of federal, state, and local law enforcement officials have already confiscated a mind-bending haul of marijuana plants from indoor and outdoor grows across Washington this year, they say. The remarkable seizure of 242,000 plants, 38,000 from one central Washington garden alone, is altogether about 100,000 more plants than all of last year's record confiscation, says Lieutenant Rich Wiley of the Washington State Patrol Narcotics Program, pushing the Evergreen State ever higher on the list of America's top dope-producing regions. Almost 250 suspects were arrested in the past 9 months for tending or aiding the operations, most of them outdoor grows east of the Cascades. As it is, according to federal figures from 2006, when around 140,000 plants were confiscated, Washington already ranked number 2 behind California in indoor grows and number 5 in outdoor gardens. With a street value estimated by the state patrol at $472 million so far, The 2007 law enforcement harvest has turned marijuana, unofficially, into Washington's number 4 cash crop. Compared to the latest available figures from the State Department of Agriculture, dope beats out wheat, but trails potatoes. Apples, at $1.2 billion, top the list. And how much tax revenue does Washington take in from wheat, potatoes, and apples? Marijuana may be number 4, but that's based on how much marijuana they found, not how much is actually being grown out there. Leaving money on the table while your state is suffering a severe financial crisis, cutting programs and services by the people. Oh well, what good is a poison control hotline anyway? California teens' marijuana use steady, but prescription drug abuse skyrocketing. The newly released biennial Attorney General's survey of student drug use in California shows that marijuana use among 7th, 9th, and 11th graders remained stable during 2007 and 8, but reports an, quote, alarming rate, end quote, of prescription drug abuse. California Normal Coordinator Dale Gehringer said, quote, the survey confirms that California's medical marijuana law has had no adverse impact on youth marijuana use. At the same time, it shows that youth prescription drug use has been seriously underestimated in the past, end quote. Marijuana use has been declining to stable ever since passage of California's medical marijuana law in 1996. According to the latest report, quote, since 2003, use in the past 6 months has remained stable at 7% in 7th grade, 20% in 9th grade, and 31% in 11th grade. The most significant but disturbing overall finding of the 12th biennial survey is, because of underassessment of recreational use of prescription and over-the-counter drugs, we have previously underestimated actual levels of youth substance use. New data shows that 37% of 9th and 50% of 11th graders used either an illicit illegal drug or a diverted prescription drug to get high at least once in their lifetime. Taking this into consideration, total lifetime use of alcohol and other drugs is estimated at 52% and 69% respectively. Including use of cold and cough medicines to get high, lifetime alcohol and other drug 9th grade use rises to 60% and 11th grade use rises to 74%, end quote. Weird, isn't it, that they keep telling us that medical marijuana will send the wrong message to the children? Yet teen use of marijuana remains steady or declines in all the states that have medical marijuana. Meanwhile, we have pharmaceutical advertising on television and radio 24/7 sending messages about prescription drugs, and their abuse rates skyrocket. A great deal of this increase, I believe, is due to random drug testing of students. Everybody knows that pot, out of any substance you can take for intoxication, is the one that remains detectable for the longest period of time. Everybody knows that if you are caught with even the residue of marijuana, you're going to jail, losing your scholarships, maybe your job, and altering your life forever. But if you pop a few of the pills you find in mom and dad's medicine cabinet, you won't be tested for it. You'll get a lot higher. It's harder to find because it doesn't smell, and it's easier to conceal. And even if you are caught, you still get student aid and probably keep your job. What teenager seeking a thrill wouldn't choose the pills over pot? Once again, prohibition maximizes the harm. Alcohol problems plague 1 out of 3 Americans. Whether it's binge drinking or addiction to alcohol, Americans have a real problem with the bottle. So says new research released Monday, which found that nearly 1 out of 3 Americans can expect to have a problem with alcohol at some time during their lives. Study author Bridget Grant of the Division of Biometry and Epidemiology at the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism said, quote, we found that 30.3% of the U.S. population at some time in their lives, though maybe not currently, has had an alcohol use disorder, end quote. compared to 9% of marijuana smokers who develop some form of clinical dependency. But perhaps most sobering was the fact that few with alcohol problems ever reached out for help. Grant says, quote, "What we found was that very few people who have lifetime disorders ever seek treatment," end quote, adding that only 24% of those suffering from alcohol dependency seek help. The percentage of those seeking treatment for alcohol abuse is even lower, at 7%. Have you considered arresting people for possession, sales, or home brewing of alcohol? Dr. Kevin Sabat tells me that this is an excellent way of getting people into treatment. Quote, "The activist phrase, treatment over incarceration, or treatment versus incarceration, is an accepted term within the drug policy discourse," end quote, Dr. Sabat writes regarding the 1,000% increase in marijuana treatment admissions in New York City, coinciding with Mayor Giuliani's crackdown on marijuana smokers. Quote, "Indeed, this paper suggests that law enforcement intensity may be one of the many different activities that could increase treatment entry," end quote. Well, if it works so well with pot smokers, why wouldn't you apply the prohibition, arrest, sentence to treatment model to alcohol users, who are getting into domestic abuse problems, impaired driving problems, and aggressiveness problems, unlike cannabis users? Oh, yeah, because we tried that in the 1920s, and it didn't work.
Stupid Stoner Stories.
As a public service, Normal reminds you that smoking marijuana will not make one stupid. However, some stupid people do smoke marijuana. Don't be one of those stoners that make the rest of us look bad. Learn your lesson from today's
Stupid Stoner Story.
A loyal stasher forwarded me a video clip from a police dash cam. You can see the whole clip up on stash.normal.org. The audio is funny enough in itself. Just use your imagination.
What's going on, Steve? You call 911?
Yeah, you're crazy.
What y'all fighting about this time?
Man, she's throwing stuff all around the damn house, kicking stuff around. I'm sick of it. This is my house.
I'll do whatever I want to.
She throws, hit me in the face with a damn bong.
A bong?
Well, yeah. That's all. I'm like, hey, you know, the vacuum's been sitting out there for 2 weeks. Why don't you do something productive? Yeah, he's out here.
Yes. Bring
it.
Sick of
this. You better take her.
I'm going to talk to her.
I'm done.
What you smoking?
This is one of them things.
Steve, you smoking marijuana right in front of me?
Man, come on. This is my house. I can't smoke a little damn weed in my own house.
No, you can't.
Yeah, this is the last one. You're right. Yeah, it's yours too. Yeah.
Steve. Put that out right there. Come on.
No, I called you.
Steve, put that out. You come with me. Come on.
You came to get her. Let me go get her.
I'm going to talk to her in just a minute, though. But right now, you come with me for smoking marijuana. Put that down.
I can't. This is my house.
Steve, I'm going to ask you one more time. Put that down.
Let me go get her, because that's why you came.
Steve,
you came to get
come
her.
On.
All right, fine. I'll put the joint up. No, wait. Just
Steve,
a minute.
Come on.
Let me go. God dang it. I know what. Fuck. Jesus Christ.
Put your hands behind your back.
I called you.
Put your hands behind your back.
I called you. This ain't right. I know my rights.
If you're new to the stash, you might wonder why I post a story about a stupid cannabis user. Am I trying to make us look bad? No. As I say at the intro, marijuana does not make one stupid. However, some stupid people do smoke marijuana. Unfortunately, they get a disproportionate amount of camera time. Well, actually, that's untrue. Plenty of smart, productive, normal people who use cannabis responsibly get camera time. You just don't know they are pot smokers. They have jobs to think of. The point is to show what is unacceptable as a responsible adult consumer, or to highlight an unfortunate incident that could be avoided by being responsible. It's a teachable moment, as they call it these days. In my day, we just called it hard knocks. Some people, though, are just plain stupid. They'd be as stupid sober, but they end up on camera high. When you're out there as a proud cannabis activist, remember that it takes 10 of us working twice as hard all year to be taken seriously for every 2-minute clip of a guy like this at the tail end of your evening news with snickering news anchors wrapping it up before Wheel of Fortune. Represent.
Georgia. Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 20s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stop arresting law-abiding citizens because they prefer marijuana over alcohol. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges. We're unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people each year simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They're average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
We got a lot of great entries at NORML's $10,000 pro-cannabis ad contest, and we'll be announcing the 25 finalists that'll be competing for your vote coming this Monday. But as a treat for Super Bowl weekend, I thought I'd play some of the music behind some of these ads. Pretty clever tunes, some of them. And a few of them didn't make the finals, but I still thought that the music was good and it deserved a play. So I hope you enjoy these. First, we've got a little ditty that went a minute 37 from our friend Nice Peter. It was too long because the contest was 30 seconds or 60 seconds, but it was a great little tune, so here you go. This is Nice Peter with his legalization song.
My next door neighbor, Jim the Barber, got arrested in 1989. He got caught with 1 pound of grass and he did 2 years of hard time. He was released, he lost his shop with a felony on his record. Now he lives on the streets in West Chicago, that's the last that I heard. Don't you think it's absurd? We gotta stand together. There's a million Jims in jail for weed. Stand together. Well, I thought this was the land of the free. I know what you're thinking, that we've got bigger fish to fry. Well, let me break down the math for you guys. There were 765,000 marijuana arrests in 2007. That's not for dealers and kingpins, no, that's just for simple possession. Multiply that by the average cost of each arrest, and what have you got? $7.6 billion spent on people just smoking some pot. That's enough money to buy health insurance for every child that needs it. That's enough cash to adopt every stray dog and enough left over to feed it. Mr. Obama, I kinda wrote this song for you. You got my vote for change. Now let's see what you can do.
Here's one from Robert Cam called the 20 millionth marijuana arrest. Kind of a takeoff on those free credit report ads.
Well, I smoke some marijuana with some people I like, just like everybody does from the East Coast to the West. I didn't even notice the cop on the bike. Didn't know I was about to be the 20 millionth marijuana arrest. Should have fought for marijuana law reform. Should have gone to the web and typed in norm. Norm to the L.org. Normal drop the A.org, baby. National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws.
Robert gave us another one called Grandpa's Got Glaucoma.
Grandpa's got glaucoma, now he's on the witness stand. Cause he lives in Oklahoma, where medical use is banned. He tried some marijuana, doctor said he wouldn't tell. But that doc turned Grandpa in, now he's in this prison cell. Should've gone to Normal, that's N-O-R-M-L. Normal.org, right from your dill. They fight the marijuana laws, both federal and state. Just enter in your email, they'll keep you up to date.
And of course, it wouldn't be marijuana music without an entry from the prodigious and prolific Jet Baker.
Dear President Obama, please free the marijuana for medicine, food, and energy. Part of your new green economy. I voted for change, so now do your best before the 20 millionth arrest. Too late.
It's been a lot of fun judging these videos, and thanks so much to everyone who entered the $10,000 pro-cannabis ad contest. Voting starts on Monday. The top 25 will be available, and the winners get their share of $10,000 in cash and prizes, including $3,500 to the winner.
I'm Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of Normal. Have you heard about the new super pot that's supposedly 20 times more potent than your father's Woodstock weed? Don't believe the hype. Marijuana's THC potency has always varied, even in the 60s and 70s. And the drug czar's numbers are full of, well, exaggerations. While no intoxicant is harmless, cannabis is non-toxic and far safer than alcohol. No matter how much you smoke, of whatever potency, you cannot die of a marijuana overdose. Potency is irrelevant anyway. More potent pot just means you smoke less of it, meaning less harmful smoke in your lungs. This is a prime example of harm reduction in action. Besides, the government already allows the prescription of THC pills. Its commercial brand name is Marinol, and it's 100% potent. Meanwhile, the federal government won't allow dying people to use natural marijuana, no matter what the potency. Does this make sense to you? Learn the facts about pot. Visit NORML.org today.
Here at the Normal Daily Audio Stash, we work hard to change our nation's marijuana laws through education and discussion. But we also take time to relax and unwind with an eclectic mix of pod-safe music from many independent artists. We look for music that speaks to the growing truth about cannabis, or music that speaks to broader themes of freedom, liberty, social justice, equality, and protest. To find out more about the artists and download the music you hear on this podcast, just log on to stash.normal.org. Like to get your music heard by the online cannabis community, just send us an email at stash@normal.org. Medicine Man is a rapper out of the Mile High City who is the winner of the 2008 Global Marijuana Music Award for Best Medical Song with this tune, Cause I'm Medicated. I don't have much more info for you than that, except that you can find his MySpace page at myspace.com/kingofcolorado. This is Medicine Man with Cause I'm Medicated.
To all the people voting, bowls and blunts smoking, vaporizer bags and water pipes got you choking. Let me see the kind of Mary Jane that you're toking. Advertise the fact that your sack is out the poking. All the babies growing, rain, shine, or snowing. 1,000 watts, super metal, halide glowing. Got the heady toss from a steady set of gloomin'. Harvesting my crops, ready, set, let's go. Cause I'm medicated. Woo! Talking Wild West weed. The Bermuda is the best in Mile High. Cause I'm medicated. All the greenest of the greens. Got a pocket full of nuggets in my own home scene. Cause I'm medicated. I got a pound in my sack. My whole family is legal. What you think about that? Cause I'm medicated. The cops better cut me slack. They can take my weed from me, but I'll always get it back. Need my medication, that's a bag full of the perps. At least a cutie and a half of nothing but the OG derbs. And if you don't have some of that, well then you better put in work. cause I need a flock of bats and some shiskaberry birds. I'm a minister of Moja in the marijuana church, and my pot is the most potent. If you cough, it's gonna hurt. To compete is just a token, cause they say that Medi's thirst, cause I got more heady grass than the PGA's got turf. Cause I'm medicated, talking Wild West weed. The Bermuda is the best in Mile High. Cause I'm medicated on the greenest of the greens. Got a pocket full of nuggets in my own home team. Cause I'm medicated, I got a pound in my sack. My whole family is legal, what you think about that? Cause I'm medicated, the cops better cut me slack. They can take my weed from me, but I'll always get it back. I'm the freshest of the crew, cause I got the freshest weed, and the freshest is the bestest, irregardless of the need. If you feel the need to test us, well, we're filled with THC. That's because the Lord has blessed us with an herb-producing seed. So to hell with all your crack, heroin, amphetamines. You can keep your psycho drugs, your benzodiazepines. So I'm keeping all my thugs medicated on the greens. Mary Jane is who I love, and I know that she loves me. Cause I'm medicated, I'm talking Wild West weed. The Bermuda is the best in Mile High. Cause I'm medicated on the greenest of the greens. Got a pocket full of nuggets in my own home team. Cause I'm medicated, I got a pound in my sack. My whole family is legal, what you think about that? Cause I'm medicated, the cops better cut me slack. They can take my weed from me, but I'll always get it back. Pay attention right here to my AK, AK, AK-47. We be growing that all day. Got you high as heaven, so the only thing you're gonna say is where the nearest 7-Eleven. Do they do it my way? I'ma roll another one when I get done with this, J. We gon' smoke a ton of fun like Goodyear's on the highway. Choking in a funnel, one like tunnel in a funnel, K. If they think I've come and done, well, you can tell them I say. Cause I'm medicated, I'm talking Wild West weed. The Bermuda is the best in Mile High. Cause I'm medicated on the greenest of the greens. Got a pocket full of nuggets in my own home team. Cause I'm medicated, I got a pound in my sack. My whole family is legal, what you think about that? Cause I'm medicated, the cops better cut me slack. They can take my weed from me, but I'll always get it back. All the people voting, bowls and blunts smoking, vaporizer bags and water pipes got you choking. See the kind of Mary Jane that you're talking. Advertise the fact that your sack is alcohol poking. That's right. Cause I'm medicated, medicated, medicated.
Cannabis. Pop.
Just say no.
No matter what you call it, it's a huge part of popular culture.
Where'd you learn that, Cheech? Drug school.
You don't need weed school. You just need a copy of the new book, Pot Culture, The A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life.
Hey, this is great, man.
Even if you never smoked marijuana.
I never used marijuana. Sorry.
Don't think you smoked marijuana.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two and didn't inhale.
Or you used to smoke marijuana.
I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Pot Culture by former High Times editor Steve Bloom and Shirley Halperin will answer every question you ever had about marijuana culture.
Has that marijuana made it back up here yet?
Check out Pot Culture, the A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life at Amazon.com or visit potculturebook.com today.
Too bad, man. I just stopped smoking yesterday.
Marijuana culture is infused throughout America and the world. As we round out the week, we take a look at the 420 phenomenon in movies, TV, music, and sports with former High Times editor and author of Pot Culture, Steve Bloom, in our CelebStoner.com entertainment news.
We're getting ready for the big football weekend this weekend, and joining us here to talk a little bit about it and how the cannabis community plays a little bit of part in Super Bowl 43 is Steve Bloom from CelebStoner.com. And hey, Steve, welcome back.
Hey, Russ, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm really looking forward to the big game, and I was checking out the new CelebStoner site, and you've got some big stories up there about Santonio Holmes that a lot of people don't know.
Well, first of all, Santonio Holmes, you know, he plays for the Steelers, and he's one of their wide receivers. He's had a really terrific playoff, had a couple of really big plays, a punt return for a touchdown, a a long pass for a touchdown, and he's one of the reasons why the Steelers are going to the Super Bowl. Santonio Holmes was arrested back in October for marijuana. He was found with 3 blunts in his car. He claimed that he hadn't smoked that day, but had actually smoked the day before in the car, which is kind of a lame excuse. And, you know, of course, he apologized like all players do. He hasn't been punished. He did have one game that he was deactivated for, but he hasn't been punished in any other way. And came out this week that, Holmes has admitted that when he was younger, he sold drugs. So he hadn't really talked about this up until now. And it's kind of an interesting story. He's pretty much saying that like everybody did it essentially. He just kind of went along for the ride in his neighborhood. He grew up in Belgrade, Florida. And his comment is that, he says growing up in, he said either you go to sell drugs or you play football. You're gonna do sports or you're gonna be on the corner. The group of guys I grew up around, the area I grew up in, that's all we did before it was time to play football. That's what we knew. My uncles, my family members, friends, cousins, they all did it. They all sat on the corner and did it. The money was good because we were young. We wanted to buy shoes or go out and buy snacks. We wanted just to have money in our pockets. I enjoyed it for a while, but I was glad my mom moved away from there. So, you know, pretty much he was in that life until, you know, his mom kind of took him away from it, and got him more involved in football and took him away from the environment where everybody was selling drugs. So he didn't really say what he was selling, but you kind of really have to assume he was probably selling pot and cocaine or crack or something like that, because it's kind of what you sell on the corner, I guess.
Yeah, I would think so.
But I tend to be rooting for the Steelers. I'm an AFC fan. I'm a Jet fan. I'm happy for the Cards, you know, that it's been so many years, you know, that they've never been to a Super Bowl, and all these years they haven't been to a playoff since, I think, 1947. So, you know, I feel for them, but I'm leaning in the direction of the Steelers, you know, partially for Santonio Holmes, partially for the AFC, and also for our new president, Obama is in favor of the Steelers. He says, I wish the best to the Cards. They have been long suffering, but other than the Bears, the Steelers are probably the team that I'm closest to. And according to news reports, he says Steelers owner Dan Rooney, head coach Mike Tomlin, who is black, and legendary running back Franco Harris, all campaigned for Obama during the election. So, you know, he won Pennsylvania, which was a big thing. He lost Arizona, so I guess he's sticking with
PA. Well, he was running against the senator from Arizona, so maybe that has something to do with it.
You know, he's kind of like hint, not saying that, but he's going to stick with his Pennsylvania buds.
Hey, and you know, you mentioned how Santonio Holmes in this situation only got like a one game deactivation. Do we see a lot of variance in the punishment that these NFL players get based on their star potential with marijuana?
Very much so. I don't know if it's star potential, but each team handles it differently. And the NFL, you know, doesn't really have like a strict rule of how to handle each situation. Sometimes maybe if the player had priors, you know, has kind of a bad record, like a Pac Van Jones kind of guy, then they're going to throw the book at him. But otherwise, they seem to do it case by case. Some guys were cut from teams. Other guys don't even get a suspension. This week, there was another arrest.
Postseason,
so it may be assessed next year. We'll see. But the Seattle Seahawks linebacker Leroy Hill was arrested near the Atlanta area. He was found asleep at the wheel at 4 a.m. Last Saturday night at an intersection. He just fell asleep.
Oh, no.
And so, you know, obviously he was pulled over by police and, you know, probably smelled marijuana, did a little search and found a couple of bags. So he became the ninth player since 2008 to be arrested for either marijuana or cocaine. But each player does have a little bit of a different treatment. I'm really kind of concerned about the players that get cut from the team before they're even found guilty. And that's happened in a number of cases.
Mm. Well, we'll keep an eye on it as we go through the Super Bowl and the next NFL seasons and the off season. I'm sure there'll be more stories to tell. Hey, you might even get it up to an 11-man squad before we're done.
So. I have a feeling we'll probably hit that before the next season begins.
Yeah. Well, to take kind of a left turn here subject-wise, you've also got some news up on the site about one of my most favorite comedians of all time, Bill Hicks. Some great material coming out and people ought to know about it.
Well, Bill Hicks, as you say, was really one of the great comedians of all time, and fortunately he died in 1993 of cancer, and he was only 32 at the time. Now, let me check that. I think he actually died in 1994, February 1994. Interestingly, in October of 1993, towards the end of Bill's life, Bill was diagnosed with cancer in June of 93, so he knew he was ill, and he continued on until, you know, obviously he couldn't really probably work anymore. I'm not sure what kind of cancer he had, but either way, it spread very fast, and he was, you know, getting to be pretty popular by this point, and starting to get a little bit better known. And he had an appearance on that was taped with David Letterman's show for the Late Show when Letterman had moved over to CBS. And Bill was, you know, was so controversial, apparently, with some of the things he said on that segment that Letterman and his producers decided to not run the segment. Essentially censored Bill Hicks. And what happened after that was that it became kind of known. There was a big story in the New Yorker a few weeks later that kind of went into a lot of the details of it. It did a big profile of Bill Hicks, and it went into a lot of the reasons why. And Hicks, you know, was, as I now know, because I just, you know, spotted a clip on the web, that, you know, Hicks had made some comments about it. He said that I did some material about pro-life people and Jesus. They called these hot points. This is what CBS was saying. I later found out that it's one of Dave's rules that he doesn't like comics to talk about Jesus on the show. And then his jab at the late night show is they pretend to be this hip late night talk show when in actuality they're as mainstream as anything. Now, Bill Hicks was a guy who really, you know, stood up for marijuana and drugs, that everything should be legal. Some of his routines are just unbelievably great routines about this subject. You know, he talks about musicians creating all this great music on drugs.
Yeah.
He has these bits called Great Times on Drugs. He tackled the drug war. He talks about mushrooms, LSD, anything and everything. He just really was one of the first kind of legalizers in the early 90s, you know, among entertainers. And his favorite line of mine is the famous line where he goes, not only do I think pot should be legalized, I think it should be mandatory.
Yeah, my favorite.
So, I was very lucky to have met Bill Hicks back in the early 90s when he was starting to really pop up on the scene. I saw him at the New York Club Caroline's, met him a few times, was really hoping that, you know, he would be a regular when I was working at High Times to appear, you know, at High Times events, and we featured him in the magazine in 1992. And then all this happened, you know, with the Letterman show, and then Bill died, and then, well, 15 years later, now, finally, that band, Censored Letterman show, is going to air tonight on late night. I think what they're doing is they're going to show clips from the show. They're not going to do the whole episode. You know, they're going to show, you know, what they didn't run that particular night. And it's 15 and a half years later. Mary Hicks, Bill's mom, is going to be on the show. They apparently taped it a couple of days ago. So they're going to show the tape of Mary talking, and they're going to show clips from Bill being on the air. I assume it's going to be exactly what Bill did and said. Now, why now it's okay to run this all these years later, you know, I'm not sure. You know, maybe Letterman's changed a little bit. Maybe they're just, you know, not as tight about what they would allow on the air. Maybe they're trying to make, you know, make it right. You know,
yeah.
Maybe deep down Letterman knows he did the wrong thing, that here's a guy who was a really great talent, you know, who he really wouldn't allow on a show because he was just a little too controversial. And so maybe they're just trying to, you know, do the right thing all these years later. But I really recommend people, you know, tune to Channel 2 at 11:30 Eastern Standard Time tonight and catch the Band Bill Hicks episode on David Letterman.
Yeah, I'll be DVRing it myself. And I always remember my favorite Bill Hicks, my favorite Bill Hicks quote was, on the seventh day, God looked down and realized he left marijuana all over the place and said, "Aw, shit, now I got to make Republicans."
That's right. And also in my book on pop culture, on I have a quote from Bill Hicks. I've never seen two people on pot ever get into a fight because it's fucking impossible. I mean, you have to add, you know, because Hicks was just so great, and Hicks was great about a lot of subjects. He just went after a lot of things. You know, he wasn't that big fan of kids. He kind of favored abortion just to get rid of all these kids, and he would say things that were really off the wall. But the guy was so good. He was kind of like a Sam Kinison.
Yeah,
he just wasn't quite as loud, and he had that same kind of like Texas bravado. You know, he just was. He really hit you hard.
Yeah.
But he just wasn't quite as raunchy. You
know? I always kind of look at Bill Hicks kind of like a cross between Sam Kinison and Bill Maher, in a sense.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would be interesting what would have become of, you know, Hicks as if he had lived. He probably would have gotten his own show. He probably would have gotten super famous. But right now, you know, he's sort of a little bit under the radar because he's one of those guys that just, you know, didn't live long enough for most people to have seen. So you have to catch him, you know, online. Go to, YouTube and just, you know, look around for Bill Hicks clips and we posted one of them, the Great Times on Drugs clip. So if you go to Celeb Stoner, you can find it there as well, front page today.
Yep, check it out at celebstoner.com. Some great Bill Hicks clips. And tonight on David Letterman's show, the missing 15-year-long censored Bill Hicks footage.
That's right. Say that fast, right?
No kidding. Bill Hicks clip footage. Hey, Steve, hope you have fun watching the Super Bowl this weekend, and I'll speak to you next weekend.
Go Steelers.
Go Steelers. Go Cards.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with a reminder to have fun this Super Bowl Sunday weekend, and remember that there's going to be a whole lot of what I call amateur drunks out on the road coming back from Super Bowl parties, so be careful and make sure you got someone good to drive you, okay? Want to have you back here for downloading some more Daily Audio Stashes in the future. And thank you guys for making this the best job a guy could ever hope to have. I did my first podcast of the Daily Audio Stash on my 40th birthday, and tomorrow is my 41st birthday. My 40th year has been the best yet. Sure hope there's many more of these to come. And if there are, I'll be here the whole time, fighting for an end to adult marijuana prohibition. It's about time. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us for the podcast. We'll talk to you next week. And until that time, take care of each other, tokers.